Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number 94th ranked sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. My name is Peter Rosenberg, and I might have to do the show solo today. I feel as if in my time of need, I was alone. Oh, well. Okay. Here he is. I stand corrected. Ladies and gentlemen,
New York to the
town, baby.
Got love for all. Line die in the fire.
Well, here he is. Better late than never. He's come strolling in. He was not there for me on Sunday on Talking Smack. Anything to say for yourself, Uptown Malcolm, a.k.a. Stack Guy Greg?
Well, I was ready. I was at the ready, but I didn't hear my music, so I didn't know if I should come in or what.
Well, you know, there are moments sometimes before the music hits where people just run. Sometimes you just got to run ahead of the music. You saw I was in physical. Well, you know what? In your defense, I never was in physical danger. I seemed confident enough.
Right.
I didn't look like I was terrified, did I?
Not too terrified. You did look like you were worried, but I wouldn't.
Worried.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, of course.
Definitely looked worried.
There was worry. There was concern. KO's the U.S. champion of America. Right. And he's a large man. So, but that said, I survived. And if you somehow are listening to the podcast yet, right now, and you have not seen Talking Smack yet, I should say, from after the pay-per-view, would you say, Greg, that Talking Smack was... Is it the highlight of everything I've done so far?
Well, the first Bring It to the Table was pretty mage. That one's up there.
That's
for
a
me.
Big moment. That's yeah. a big moment. But
this is also up there for me.
This is different, though. This was different. This was getting really dragged into the mix.
Yeah, and I was like, did P agree to take a bump and like didn't tell anybody? Like, is he about to get gripped up? Like, is this going somewhere?
I think it's hilarious too that literally on the podcast before I did my joke. Remember, I was being like, I was like, no, back off, blah blah blah, and then the music hit and you saved me. I did the whole thing, and then here we are. And where was I? What city was I in? Chicago.
Yep.
And you were you in New York in the city?
I was in Philly.
You were in Philly. You have your bag with you today.
Yep.
Where are you going?
Albany.
I mean, let's just be honest. You are your girlfriend's valet at this point. Let's just
whoa.
You are her valet. Wherever she goes, you grab your suitcase and Uptown Malcolm, who is, you know, maybe renamed something else soon, if you know the way you keep running around with these bags. How long are you even gonna be Uptown Malcolm? I mean, you'll always be Uptown Malcolm.
Yeah, Uptown Malcolm for life. For life. But there might be
you might not be Uptown.
Right.
How soon are we talking about?
Probably like 2 months.
Have you ever not lived uptown?
Like besides school? Actually, I lived in DC for a year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was like doing prep school down there.
Really?
Yes.
When?
When I was 16 to 17.
Your parents sent you away for a year? Were you in trouble or something?
No, I was a page actually.
Oh my God.
Have you heard of the page?
You're such
program?
A nerd. Of course I have. Yeah. God, you're such a nerd. Yeah, no wonder you didn't save me. You're too busy being a page. And I have news for you too. Speaking of a nerd, I want to talk. Speaking of uptown and nerds, I got to take a second real quick to cut a promo on the New York Yankees, who are having an unbelievable season. They are way ahead of schedule. The baby bombers are growing up in front of our eyes, and there is nothing nerdier on planet Earth than the judges' chambers.
Hold on, son. Hold on.
You going to defend this?
Other teams do it though. Like, it. What do you mean? There's nothing there. Like, but what was the Dark Knight though? Like,
at least that's Batman, bro. You're talking about dressing up like a judge. They dress up like old racist forefathers, okay? And then they wear their gown, and it looks like mock trial.
We're gonna make them a fake courtroom. That's how we'll celebrate our team. We're gonna start a new Yankees mock trial because his name's Judge. Get it? So nerdy.
Yeah. And you know what the worst thing about it too, when you put it like that, is like the first commissioner of MLB was an old racist judge. So it's like that.
And they're wearing the old white wigs and then they bring out the gavel.
Clarkson Zetton.
Oh, come on. Langston, what do you think? Not nerdy? Cameraman Langston, you in favor of this?
No.
Not in favor. Are you a Yankees fan?
No.
See, doesn't care.
Mets fan?
Nationals fans. Lance, are you from D.C.? You are from D.C., right? We talked about this very briefly. I'm a bad friend. Anyways, either way, how it's just so nerdy. Sometimes, like I admit it, y'all like the coolest franchise in sports. I give it up. 27 rings. I mean, by sheer winning, you're cool. You're not cool by the accoutrement. It's not the extra stuff. The pinstripes aren't cool.
Yes, they are.
They're okay, but let's be honest. In other parts of life, how cool are pinstripes?
Like, you know, Al Capone and those gangsters, like, they wore the pinstripes.
Okay, I guess that was cool at a time, but imagine if you wore that suit right now. So when you guys do extra stuff, oh, there's my new, a man who wants to be my new co-host, Griff, who is very upset. Griff, my producer, Griff, do you have anything you want to say to Stat Guy?
I'm disappointed in Stat Guy, Greg.
What? Please speak your mind. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to take a seat.
As he slams down,
no, get comfortable.
It's
Griff.
A continental championship.
Don't touch my belt.
It's not a belt.
It's a championship. It's a title. That's right.
Why did he not come defend you when punk ass Kevin Owens came after you on the show?
That nobody hit my music. That's how it works. No, that's how it works.
No, like, that's a very
they
good
come
point.
At they come at P. They aggressively interrupt P and attack him, and then my music hits, and then I make.
Yeah,
the
but
save.
You're supposed to tell them to hit your music. You think it just happens on its own? You got to be standing there, and you go hit my music.
Exactly. Did you feel disrespected?
I mean, do you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
A little bit scared? I mean, you don't usually get scared, but do you feel a little scared?
Thank you. I wasn't scared. I was worried.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of assumed that Uptown Malcolm, a.k.a. Stat Guy Greg, would come busting through the doors, and I don't know.
And if I was there, would you have felt worried at all?
No, because I've seen your full Nelson. In fact, oddly enough, I felt that full Nelson.
It just happened.
I think it's actually up on the Hot 97 Instagram today. They put it up as a throwback Thursday.
Quite possibly.
Of you putting me in a full Nelson. But listen, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, we moved on.
And now we moved on. So the bottom line is this. I'm not threatening Uptown Malcolm. And obviously you're allowed to move however you want. But this tag team, it's not in jeopardy. It's not in peril. We're not near the barbershop window, but there's reason for concern when you don't show up. In wrestling terms, if one tag partner, let's say Enzo, it just happened this week. Yeah. Enzo got attacked and you saw Kaz was upset. He's running around going, what the hell happened here? You should have at least been on social media.
I was like, where was my music?
Nah.
That's not enough. Where's my music?
This is going to be like when Smash just came to Demolition.
Right.
There was just a third member.
And Smash was all Crush.
Crush. Axe, Smash, and Crush.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, no. Crush started fighting in all the fights. And then Axe wasn't in any more matches. I'm just saying.
All right. So you want to be you're saying you could be the Crush.
I'm not saying I want to be. I'm just saying.
You might
be. If it's necessary.
If it's necessary. And KO can catch that full Nelson too.
All right. Well, you've heard it. There it is. You've heard from producer Griff.
I'm out.
And he's out. Griff out. He's throwing a shot. He's taking his title. Told you, there's a lot of...
Clap a little harder, clown.
What did he just yell?
Laugh a little harder, clown.
All right, and before we get started...
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy.
All right, so it was a big week in the world of professional wrestling. Maybe most notably, let's not waste any time. Let's jump into the best thing that happened this weekend, and that would be, nope. I don't think that's the best thing. I think that's the second best thing. I think the best thing was Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's start right there. Like, that was the best when it comes to what wrestling's all about from a pure artistic standpoint. What those gentlemen did on Saturday night
was exactly what I said they would do.
You did. Now, listen, a bunch of people did write me on Twitter and say they thought that would be match of the night. And, I mean, listen, they may very well be the two best talents on the roster right now, on the NXT roster, or if you consider them that, NXT adjacent, whatever they are.
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
Yeah,
they appeared
on
NXT, so.
Would you call it 5-star?
Yeah, that was a perfect match. Like, from the facial expressions and the moves, the innovation. Like, I saw things that I didn't really see before in that match. It was exactly what I expected. And I set the bar really high for that match for myself.
Because you expected it to be great.
Yeah, and they went past what I even expected.
They were very, very special. That was a really, really enjoyable match. And I went up to Tyler Bate, I guess maybe 20 minutes after the match. He just sat next to Gorilla in a chair watching a monitor. Maybe the girls were on afterwards. I don't recall.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
So they're sitting there, and Tyler's sitting there watching. I've never met him before until that day. And I went up to him, and I said, I was like, congratulations, incredible match. And I was like, you been on the internet yet? He was like, no. I said, do you know how your match is being received? He was like, no. I said, I think you're going to be quite pleased with the reaction to this match.
Right.
He was like, really? I was like, yeah. And then I'm going to give you one little bit of behind the scenes. I try not to be a D-nozzle, who name drops all the time all the awesome things I get to see. I'll do it in person when I meet people, but I try not to be a jackwagon about it here. And I also don't like to just give up everything that I see on the podcast because that's lame. But I will say one thing I noticed that was just amazing. Tyler Bates sitting there, and I'm sitting with my producer, and we're hanging out just kind of talking, watching the match, and Pat Patterson walks by. Pat has nothing to do with NXT.
Yeah.
He doesn't go to NXT typically. I had talked to him earlier.
I think he was there to just be in the audience because they showed him on screen.
They showed him once. They might have had him come just to put him on screen. Exactly. I don't know if he was actually there to watch talent or if they just said, hey, Pat, we need you to show up a night early, you know, to be here. Pat, you know, I never know exactly what Pat's involvement is. He's just always around, right? And I watched him go up to Tyler Bate and he gave him such love and compliments. And I just watched Tyler sit there and sort of take in Pat Patterson, like the embodiment of what a great pro wrestler is, tell you how awesome and special the match was. And he said how much he loved that they took their time. They allowed when there was a big spot. They allowed the spot to breathe afterwards. He was like, you guys just did it in a way a lot of people, these kids don't know how to do it. The way you did it was just amazing. And it was just awesome to watch that moment. So a little bit of a bird's eye from what was an amazing, I'm not going to lie, guys, Cheap Eaters and Peckerheads. And I want to apologize to the Peckerheads of Chicago. I said I was going to try and go out and meet people and that I didn't because I ended up doing Talking Smack. I do want to say to everyone who sent me a nice tweet or an Instagram comment or Snapchat or whatever, everyone who was just sort of showing me love for what was a really big weekend because I'd never done an NXT kickoff show and I did the NXT and then I did the Smack. And first of all, I was happy enough with just the SmackDown kickoff show. I thought it was the best SmackDown kickoff show I've had.
Yeah.
Because I got to be the most involved. They had, you know, Eric Rowan came
you
on set.
The T and what's his name? Ellsworth?
And Ellsworth. So me fighting with Ellsworth, and then they had Rowan come up and acting a total creep, and that was really fun and scary. And so I just got to do the most stuff by far on that. And so I already had the best part time on my weekend, and then they were like, yo, you want to jump on this Talking Smack? And I was like, man, do I ever. Like that's a show I've wanted to get on for a long time because I really love what they do. So shout out to all the Peckerheads out there. And I did just announce on my Instagram, as Greg, you probably saw, that I'm starting to put the wheels in motion for two new limited edition T-shirts for the summertime.
Yeah, it's about that time.
And listen, I'm not going to reveal what I'm going to do. I haven't even talked to Greg about this. But before I even post anything, you know, listen, is it likely that you will see an Uptown Malcolm shirt that appears? It's possible. Anything's possible. But I'm working on two new things for the SummerSlam weekend, and I'm still working on what the event will be SummerSlam weekend. I'm hopeful it will be something no matter what. And certainly, even if somehow we didn't do an event, there's still going to be two new T-shirts for SummerSlam weekend. Like I think that'll always be a plan for a T-shirt drop, is always SummerSlam weekend because it's in New York. It makes sense. So anyways, working that, that's enough of me putting myself over. Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, amazing. Let's get to the next biggest part of the weekend. The Maharaja! Jinder Mahal wins the WWE Championship. And part of it is very cool just because it's something different. Part of it is cool because it's the culmination of a guy who you may think his build has been fast, but let's be clear. Jinder Mahal's been around for a long, long time. Was he always over? Nope. Was I always into him? Nope. But I've enjoyed this version of him.
Yep.
He's the great dude who's worked his butt off. And more than anything, it was surprising. And I thought Randy did what we talked about. Was it being a big deal for Randy? I think Randy did the job we wanted him to do. Don't you?
I agree. I mean, like I said last week too, Randy can be lazy. Actually, I say he is lazy. He doesn't always deliver in the ring, but I feel like he gave Jinder a good, maybe not great match, but definitely a worthy main event.
It was right on the line, man. You don't think he was great when he was tossing people around like rag dolls outside the ring?
Well, no, because he almost killed the guy.
But guess what? He didn't kill the guy. It ended up being awesome. I mean, that was kind of the moment of the match, though, wasn't it?
No, his face afterwards was the moment of the match. Like,
did everyone instantly react to that?
Yeah, it was like, oh, you know he messed up.
So you think the guy, is that a situation, and obviously you and I don't know enough about wrestling, but is that a situation where the guy is just lighter than he realizes and Randy's energized and he just goes for it and the guy just flies?
Possibly. Like, there's so many factors. Like, I don't even know. I don't know.
That's my assumption there, is Randy's just feeling it. He's in the zone. And he's like, hold up, chuck someone. And then he was like, oh, God, I did not mean to chuck you like that. But I'll tell you what, that moment, when that happened, we were backstage on the set. I just said I wasn't going to put myself over more. Here I am.
Got to do it.
We were back,
this is your show.
You we were backstage it. On the set, and it was me, Renee, and Sammy was already there. Sami Zayn was already there. And the three of us were watching, and when Randy did that, yo, we all popped so big. And then when Jinder won, we all popped really big because no one was completely sure. I especially wasn't sure because they told me who our guests were for Talking Smack, and it didn't include Jinder. And maybe that's why. Maybe they thought if Jinder was a guest, everyone knows he wins the match. So yeah. they didn't want to – because, you know, I had no idea. I had no idea. Like, you don't know where anything's going.
Did you get to hear the Hindi announce team celebration when
I have not heard that yet. Should I look it up right now?
You should. It's
I heard they went nuts because I had drinks later that night with some of the foreign announce teams, and they said that they were going absolutely nuts. And you know, I talked to the German announce team that night, and I was like, "You said it was the Hindi,
yeah."
Let's see. And they said they were telling me like the I'm sorry, I was talking to the Russian announce team, for example. And they were telling me that they treated Rusev in his initial run as completely as a babyface. Like they absolutely went nuts for him.
And you almost have to, though. Like, why would you disrespect him and he's like, you know, bigging up Russia? You almost have to represent for your countrymen.
Let's see. Do you think I should look Jinder Mahal Hindi commentary? Will that do it? Let's see. Where did you find it? Where did you see it?
Well, for one, it's on the network.
It's on the network, but they show it? Or where did you see it on the network?
Like, you got to go into pay-per-views with alternate audio.
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah.
And okay, then, hold on. I'll pull it up then while we're talking. But tell us your thoughts. I mean, let's get it. While I'm looking this up right now, I want to start with something. So I did some research. As I was preparing for the pay-per-view, and, you know, you need a lot to know. And, like, obviously, you guys may have been able to tell that since things have been coming along, I have been having to pay even more attention than I did previously to everything, right? So I am. And in doing so, not only did I watch everything, but then I'll even go and listen to some podcasts to – I don't see the – which one is Hindi?
It's like
Deutsch?
Nope.
Japanese?
Nope.
Hold on. Russian?
Nope.
Deutsch?
Not Deutsch.
Espanol?
That's not the one.
Zongguan?
Nope.
That's Mandarin. Right. Portuguese?
Nope.
Hindi?
There you go.
No, it was literally the last one. That was took longer than I would have liked. Apologies. So I started listening to random podcasts. I don't know if you've ever gone through that experience, Stat Guy, but I'll like go through literally just looking up like wrestling podcasts. So some of which have no audience at all. Some of which have some audience.
So it's possible that there is a podcast by a listener that you might have listened to.
Absolutely.
That's how deep you went.
There could be people listening right now who do the podcast. And I got to tell you, there are a few things that I found irritating. One is how, you know, people just have this way of, and now I understand why people who work in the WWE hate fans so much. Not hate fans, sorry, that sounds crazy. Hate fans' opinions at times so much. And like get annoyed when people just like on the internet blurt things. I get it. It's not that fans don't have great ideas, right? Because fans do have great booking ideas.
Is it that all the ideas get weighted equally, the great ones and the bad ones?
No, that's not even it either. It's not that the ideas are bad. The ideas are good in terms of creative. They come up with creative things. They're creative people. And people. It's the knowledge they think they have of things that they don't. Like, we all know that the reason this is happening is because they're trying to make an imprint in India. No, you read that in one place, and now everyone's repeating it. Obviously, we don't know that's the reasoning behind that. I certainly don't know.
It would make sense, though. I'm not going
to
lie.
Sure, and you could say that it has a piece to do with it, but when everyone's like, that's it, that's the reason. Okay, is it the reason? Then the next reason, it's just because Jinder's big and Vince likes big guys. Okay, we do know that Vince loves big guys. We've heard that forever. That also is possibly true, but you don't know that for a fact. And then the one that bothers me the most is, well, we all know that Jinder's on steroids and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that one is crazy. Like,
everyone's just saying that matter-of-factly, and that really irritates
people
me.
People have been saying that since he came back last summer. And I don't know if I said this here, but I certainly said this last summer, like immediately in response to that. We would not have seen him on TV if he was on steroids. Like, just based on his transformation, if he walks in the door looking the way he looked compared to how he looked when he left, he was begging to be tested. Like, now, and I certainly believe that they did.
That was my point, you know, is that if you, how could a guy come back, look that jacked, and them not ask any questions or right. do anything, and then go as far as putting the title on him.
Exactly.
And yet you think smart people on the internet, you think you're the only ones who thought of it, but no one, Vince McMahon, who
Triple H, no one.
Thought of it.
And that's the other thing, too. I mean, you can speculate about the wellness policy and the loopholes and this and that, but Jinder Mahal is not the one they're going to risk it all on. Like, they may take a risk with the championship and with storylines and with creative, but they're not going to risk the credibility of this wellness policy that they're trying to build up when they have different lawsuits coming at them for basically not taking care of the wrestler. They're not going to risk it on Jinder Mahal.
And we were arguing it in our group chat. Like, I was even arguing with Shoemaker in the group chat. Because Shoemaker's, you know, he's like, I don't care. Like, I don't have a personal judgment for it. But, you know, you can look at his skin and see that he has skin issues now. And you can see this and you can see that. And I'm like, well, listen, I don't know what supplements do. I don't know what supplements are legal and what aren't. And, you know, Shoemaker was like, I don't think there are GNC, things at GNC that will do this, that, and the next. And Shoemaker is very smart and way smarter than I am, way more knowledgeable at wrestling than I am. I'll tell you one thing I don't think Shoemaker knows backwards and forwards, and that's what everything at GNC does for you. I'm sorry, I don't. And that's not just obviously I'm picking on Shoemaker because he's my friend, but that's obviously for everyone out there. You guys don't all know what every single supplement, legal or illegal, does. And to blindly think that the WWE, and call me a shill, I don't care. I would have said this all day. I would have said a year ago, 10 years ago, anytime, no chance a company as publicly judged as they are is putting the title on a guy that just said, oh, we're not going to ask any questions. He's fine. There is no chance. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm stupid. And if I get proven wrong, I'll be like, yo, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said it. But right now, it also, it's just a, what are we trying to, what is everyone saying? Don't hinder gender. And when you do this, guess what you're doing? You're hindering gender. Let the guy live for a minute. Exactly. It was cool. And y'all always want something different. Then there's another layer to it, which is, by the way, if he was doing that, which I don't, like I said, I strongly believe he's not. This isn't baseball. This isn't influencing competitive records. So I wouldn't really care that much in the first place. I would just say, I love, let's not ruin the moment. The reason I say don't bring it up is, I mean, bring it up if you want, but don't declare it as true without any information, because right. A, that's irresponsible. And but I mean, we've obviously seen that happening for a long time. But B, we always want something different. We always want something cool. Then they do it, and we all go, yeah, but what about this?
It's not, well, it's the one, it's not the cool thing that people wanted to happen. And that's why.
Why? Because he's not an indie darling? Is it because he's a long time, just kind of Joubert? Is that the problem, that people think he's repug?
People probably feel like he hasn't worked his way up. But at the same time, it's like, since his comeback, he's been doing all right since he came back.
Listen, they definitely put the jetpack on him when he came back. But my point is, what about before that? What about 3MB? That's not earning stripes? I don't get it. Like, everyone, guys, I have news for you. In order to be over, the only way to be over is not just to be an indie darling. Like, that's, and I'm not trying to sound like Randy Orton, because that's where I started doing wrestling stuff. That's where, I mean, listen, nothing makes me happier than when you look in the ring on SmackDown's main event and you see AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Nakamura all in the ring with Dolph Ziggler, who's a classic WWE guy. I loved that mix. It's amazing. The indie guys are out here winning. Yep. It's incredible. That doesn't mean, it's just like I always said about the girls. The girls don't all have to be NXT Revolution girls. Some of them can be Nikki Bella, who were in the WWE as models to start and then busted their butts and learned about the business and became great wrestlers. Not everyone has to have the exact same path. And I just think gender has had a path. Did he get the jetpack a few months ago? Absolutely. Is it because he's jacked? I'm sure that's a big part of it. But damn it, it's interesting. Now, if you want to get into a bigger complaint about I don't know how I feel about like the vintage bad guy who's really just bad because he's foreign. We could have that conversation, and I think it's an interesting one.
And honestly, I mean, that's why I support gender and don't respond to him as a heel. I mean, his facial expressions definitely lends itself to you wanting to hate him, because like
that's what he does, right?
Yeah, he has
and the limo.
Yeah, he has the excellent, like, his whole persona is excellent, especially like when he makes that face and like he turns up his nose and it's like, yo, this guy is just radiating douchiness. Like, you want to hate him. But then when he speaks, the things he says, there's truth in it. And he's not saying anything that a bad guy would say. It's like he's saying that, you know.
The only thing he says or a bad guy says, bad guys do say this, but it's funny because it's not really bad. You people hate me.
Yeah.
That's all he says. And that is a bad guy thing to say, but he's.
But he doesn't leave it at that, though. He says, you hate me because of the way I look, because of the way I talk, because, you know, you don't respect diversity, and because I'm different. It's like, oh, well, actually, I can support that and I can understand. You know what I mean? Like, you can understand somebody feeling the way he feels. And then to boo that, it's like, yeah, you're proving his point. Of course, he's going to walk around like with his nose turned up at you guys because you're proving that point.
And by the way, and you will find as he goes to different markets as champion, and hopefully he keeps it for a while. And I'm guessing, given the response he got, I think he will probably keep it for a while.
Yeah, I need him with it at least until SummerSlam.
You want him, and you want him to beat Randy in St. Louis at Money in the Bank.
Yep. Well, I mean, who doesn't lose in their hometown?
Like, that's a very good point.
Bayley just did it. Charlotte and Sasha traded the women's championship in their hometown.
Yep.
Naomi won in her hometown, but it was WrestleMania, so you almost have to treat that as an anomaly. Yeah, so, Randy's next on the list. Who cares if it's his hometown?
All right, let's go back and listen to the last couple of minutes. This is like the last minute or so of Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal in Hindi. It's starting with, at this moment, this is when Randy has... Oh, this is the end. This is Randy has both guys. He's pulling them in for his double DDT.
Ring ke andar se hi saath mein unka sar pakad ke Randy Orton. DDT ring off the rope. DDT kiya hai. Lekin jis bahar yahan se aate hain, pakad liya hai. Khalas paas diya hai. Cover ke liye do.
It's not over. Keep going. Keep playing.
Why'd it pause on its own? Hold on. It just randomly jumped. They were, by the way, when this started, they were stepping on each other so bad. Whoever the lead commentary guy is.
They were just hyped. They were excited.
He just kept, he was like, Jinder, W. Like, come on, dude, guys.
Come on. Number one.
That is
the best
ball. Oh, I love that. So that was pretty fun. Jinder Mahal, your WWE champion. Guessing he continues to go with Randy through Money in the Bank?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because there's an elephant in the room on SmackDown Live.
Jonathan?
No, there's a big...
He's the elephant not in the room, I guess.
Yeah, he is the elephant not in the room. And it's funny, because he plays an elephant in those pistachio commercials.
Very good. That was well done, Greg. That's why you're here.
But I was actually talking about a big Bulgarian elephant, Rusev, who... You figure he demanded a championship opportunity a few months ago and said he wasn't going to show up on SmackDown Live until he got one. And then he threatened to show up on SmackDown Live and confront Shane. And then he's been missing ever since.
How long is he supposed to be out?
Rusev's ready to go, I believe.
Already? That was quick. Because didn't he have to have surgery?
No, I didn't hear anything about Rusev.
I thought he did. I thought he had surgery, but I don't think it was ever that serious. I thought it was a matter of a month or two, not a matter of a lot. And it's already been what? Since Mania, it's been 2 months, right?
Yeah.
So,
but I mean.
But then you bring him back babyface?
I don't know. I don't know how they would bring him back, but he's demanded a championship opportunity. He seems to be ready to go.
But here's my question. If they were to bring him back to SmackDown.
He's going to SmackDown. It's been shaken up. He's going to SmackDown.
When do we see that? They announced it?
The Superstar Shakeup. They announced that he was going to SmackDown.
But they didn't show him. He wasn't there.
I think they showed like a graphic.
But then why is Lana coming as a new version of Lana?
I don't know.
Interesting, right? Because like in the promos are just for Lana.
Yep.
God, she looks so good in those promos.
She's like the Emelina version. Like, I guess they
dude, Emelina.
Went ahead with the story.
Emelina, dude, a.k.a. Emma, hurt again. Yep. Last week.
That's crazy. Right. That's some Hideo Itami luck right there.
Speaking of which, what did you think of Hideo Itami?
I thought he did well. I really enjoyed that match. I like the story that they told him and Bobby Roode. Like him working the arm so that Bobby Roode couldn't hit his finisher and Bobby Roode working the leg so that he couldn't hit his finisher. I think Chicago was a little weak on that go to sleep though.
Well, they popped way bigger on like an early false one than they did on the big one.
Yeah, which is weird.
When he got him up for the big one, it was silent.
Yeah,
I was surprised by that.
I wasn't shocked by the CM Punk chant that followed the go to sleep, but I was shocked that they
didn't instantly pop in any way for it,
right?
Or even boo. I just wanted all boos, but something.
They didn't.
It was a crowd that was amazing all night long, and they didn't really react there
for the one spot that was. Absolutely designed for and catering to them.
Right. That was very weird. Did you, but I love the finish. I like how Rude hit it twice.
Man, that was crazy.
It looked great.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the AOP DIY finish?
I loved it. I loved it.
Were you swerved?
Yes, because I expected the turn. And then when they left the ring and they made it to the top of the ramp, I was like, okay, it's not going to happen. Because, you know, by the time NXT TakeOver, when the guy makes it to the top of the ramp, the graphic pops up and it's over. I don't know if it did or not. I wasn't paying attention. But they make it to the top of the ramp and then he tosses him into the set. And I was just like, whoa, it's happening.
Oh, it was super, super aggressive. I really enjoyed that. Now, have you guys heard anything about since then? Have you heard anything?
I know they were roommates and I heard that he moved out. Tommaso Ciampa moved out of the apartment that he did. This is true. He posted a picture on social media of an empty room.
Have you heard anything else?
I have not heard anything else.
Oh, but have you watched NXT yet from last night?
I did not watch NXT last night.
Let me check the news right now. Because I am implying that I have heard something, but I don't want to say what I've heard unless I don't know if it's been covered or not.
And now I don't know if you can or can't cover it.
Yeah, I can't tell because we didn't watch NXT yet.
Right.
Anyways, we'll see what happens there. But I did really enjoy the match. And I just got a big kick out of seeing Paul Ellering walking around all weekend. The next day, I saw twice Paul Ellering walking down like the hallway with AOP walking behind them. And I said to him, I was like, y'all really just follow him around real life?
Oh, no.
It just looks so funny that, like, you're backstage, not even on camera, and they were just walking around with Paul Ellery. I'm like, yo, living it right now. This is real.
Did they respond?
Yeah, they laugh. By the way, some of those kids, I don't know if they know who I am or not. Like, I know some of them probably do from the hip-hop world. But, like, I don't talk to every – I talk to as many – it's an interesting dynamic being there, figuring out, like, everyone is kind of expected to talk to people, but in my position, I don't want to over talk and bother people. And at the same time, you also don't want to, like, for example,
you don't want to seem like you're too good.
Nah, you can't like just walk into catering and go and sit by yourself while everyone else is talking to people. Even though you're thinking, I don't want to bother people and go sit with them, so I'll probably just go sit by myself. That is not the move. The move is go sit with someone.
Yeah, it sounds so high school though. Like,
I know it, but it's a very unique setting in that sense. Like, where, like, for example, the reason it feels high school is catering is the cafeteria.
That's exactly what I was picturing. Especially when you said like you can't sit by yourself, but then you don't know anybody. It's like
exactly. It's a lot to think about. But think about it. What other work settings are like that? Like, it wouldn't be any different if you worked at a law firm. And the only place you really had all of the law firm people in the same place was in the cafeteria, it would be a thing. How you decided to sit in the cafeteria would be a thing. And if some pretty new girl worked at the law firm, and instead of ever attempting to sit with the new girls, I don't care if they're all 28 years old, 35 years old, just went and sat by herself on her cell phone, the other girls were probably like, oh, word, you should go sit on your cell phone. You know what I'm saying? That is just the way human beings sort of are. So it's just an interesting workplace in that it's all people aspiring to sort of be stars in the first place. And then you have this big lunchroom where people have to sort of decide where to go. So it's an amazing sort of dynamic to watch play out.
Yeah.
And for myself, I just usually sit with people I know. I tend to go sit with people I know.
The crazy thing about that, though, is like that you would take a hit for it. But at the same time, like, this is a profession that is much less so now, but historically is just so closed off from, like, the outside world, and you're coming from the outside world. So it's like...
it's hard to know how to handle it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm from the outside world, but I'm now inside. So when I'm there, you want to be inside. You want to seem like some weird reporter who's off in the corner being like, I'm covering this. Because I'm not, really. I'm working. When I'm there, I'm not there covering it for ESPN. I'm there covering it for WWE.
Right.
So you don't want to act like you're an outsider. Let's be honest. That's inaccurate. I'm an outsider in that I came in as a fan. But also remember, a lot of the talent's like that too. They were all fans, and they just worked their way to getting there the way I worked my way to getting there. But I worked it from the broadcast side, and they worked it from the wrestling side. It's very interesting. Anyways, moving right along, let's talk about a couple other highlights. Backlash was, I would say, a mixed bag.
Agreed.
I would say the low points of Backlash were Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. The girls match, which was not handled in a way I really enjoyed. And I believe everything else was pretty awesome, including going back on myself, I enjoyed Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. They had a nice match in which I was surprised. And I'll tell you one thing, though. When Sami Zayn came out to start that match, the crowd reacted like Peter Rosenberg. No one cared. But by the end, because Sami has been so built to sort of lose, when he got the pin, they popped.
Yeah.
And they popped big.
It was well earned, too. And like you said, it was a real good match. I was surprised that Baron Corbin was able to hang and kind of stay there with Sami Zayn.
But you just didn't know how good a wrestler he was.
Right. And I'm still not completely sold, but I mean, I can't go so far as to say that Sami carried him through the match, because it takes both of them, and there's some give and some take. So I have to give him some credit for the match on Sunday.
Yeah, and I thought it was really good. And it made me like, I wonder if you could continue to garner some interest, because the way that match was handled, the way he sold the back, and then eventually managing to score the pinfall after the kick, I liked it. Yeah. I liked that match.
I feel like Nakamura versus Ziggler underperformed.
Could it have overperformed, though? Like, the expectations for two incredible wrestlers on a debut match who don't really have a story with any history. Let's remember that. There's not really much history here. So what were they going to do to exceed expectation? And I think that's sort of why it was probably put on first.
Well, my criticism stems from the fact that I feel like Nakamura looked a little bit too vulnerable throughout the match. And he's the king of strong style. He almost has like a safer strong style now, which I guess is going to extend his career and everybody else's career.
He's not a spring chicken.
Right.
He's 38. What is he?
And I think he's 37.
I'm about to tell you right now.
But it's like he adapted strong style for the WWE style. And so, I can't be mad at it, because we want to see Nakamura for years to come, but it just left me a little, I feel like his debut underperformed just a little bit.
That's fair.
Because I think when he came out with Sami Zayn at NXT TakeOver Dallas, like, that match was hard hitting. It was paced perfectly. He didn't look too vulnerable throughout. And then I was expecting this match to be a version of that. And then it wasn't. So that's what my disappointment stemmed from. But other than that, I'm with you. I thought overall it was a good pay-per-view. The tag team match exceeded my expectations. Usos and Breezango.
Awesome.
It was fun and it was entertaining. It was different too.
Like, and let's just call it right now. The Breezango is officially like hilarious. Their promo that night.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how hard I popped for day one is H? Like, someone was telling me backstage that they're sort of like the New Day, in that they spent like months and months and months working on this on their own, just being like, let's come up with something. And this is funny now.
Yeah.
Like, at first I'm like, all right, you don't necessarily need to come out with the janitor gimmick and all that stuff. But it is funny, and it is giving people a reason to care for sure. And then I also like that, yet they looked good in the match, and yet still the Usos look good and win. And then I liked what happened on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, that was, like you said, it was hilarious, and I think it was perfect. And I like that it's keeping their story going.
Yeah, between them both. Yeah. Exactly. There's no need. They're good for each other right now. So then on SmackDown, they did singles matches first. And
they each won their singles
match. And Tyler Breeze and Fandango both stole their singles matches. But then they had a tag match, and the Usos still won.
Yeah.
So I like what they're doing. I think this is being done well. The Usos still look strong, and people are still learning to love and laugh at what Breezango are doing. I have no complaints. I think this is the best use out of all four of these guys.
And that Fashion Files on SmackDown was hilarious too, like with Shane McMahon packing up their office.
I actually didn't see Fashion Files this weekend.
It was hilarious. Like, Shane McMahon's in their office, like he's so confused, he doesn't know what's going on, and they're like, yeah, we know, we're disappointed you on Sunday, we're not the champions, and then like they're turning in their badges, and they're like, oh, let me guess, you want our guns too, and Shane's like, whoa, you have guns, and that's when they pull out the water pistols and turn them in.
So I'm enjoying that, and let's talk about it. Man, beforehand, not an incredibly bold prediction by me, but I said on the kickoff show, KO AJ would be match of the night. I believe KO and AJ was match of the night. You may not love the result. Maybe you wanted an actual finish. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it either.
I just love, they went from it was like hastily put together to now we can start getting into AJ and KO, I think. And that deserves real interest because you're talking about two of the best of the last 10 years getting a chance to go at it on a big stage. I mean, frankly, this is something that shouldn't this go, like, what month are we in right now? Late May?
Yep.
Like, this could go to SummerSlam.
And I think it should, and that's why I wasn't upset with the finish, because...
Let's not get right into these clean finishes yet.
Right. It left the door open, and especially with what you said on Talking Smack, the door is wide open that, you know, he's a champion, and he should have finished the match on a pinfall or a submission and not a countout. And
I'm glad you brought that up. It was a great point by me.
KO obviously took some exceptions to that.
Yeah, no, KO didn't wholeheartedly agree with me about that. Hold on. If you didn't hear it, by the way, let's hear it. Some people may not have heard what happened, so let me pull up a clip here. Because I can't assume that everyone watched Talking Smack just because you listen to the podcast. So if you missed me on Talking Smack, this is me and KO.
If you had been paying attention and being a good reporter, which I think is your job, you would already have the answer to the question you just asked, and you wouldn't have wasted my time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't have the audio up for that, and I was just watching the
new
match.
Guy, you know what? Here's your chance. You get an opportunity. You should know the answer to your stupid question.
New guy, what do you got?
Go for it.
All right.
Throw your little pen.
I just put it down aggressively.
Okay. Respectfully, I said on the kickoff show today that I believe, and I do believe this, that AJ Styles is the best superstar in the world right now. And I don't feel that with a countout win you've necessarily...
Walks out.
I almost asked my question.
No.
This is my favorite part, though,
never...
Renee.
Ever, like, whether it's been on Raw Talk. Oh, he's coming back.
She's so good. And now he's hovering over my shoulder.
I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, by the way. I understand you're the champion, and I respect the championship.
He's holding the championship in your face at this point, right?
That's right. Someone posted a meme that said, you should want someone to look at you the way Rosenberg looks at the U.S. championship. Oh, and it continues.
And this is him writing down.
No, he walks away again, and then we try again. And then I try to
do a show with you. It feels like someone.
And then he throws the belt and legit scares me. The title, I should say. And this is when he starts writing down. By the way, I love that he writes down the note and writes it in such bad English. Like, not like it's such a bad sentence that he writes. It's my favorite part. And I'm sitting there watching, like, what the hell is this guy doing? Holds it up, taps me.
KO is the best in WWE.
Walks out again.
Every single time he's come on the show, it's the most hostile situation, whether it's been on Raw Talk or whether it's been a Talking Smack, and now he's walking back in again.
Not only am I the best WWE superstar of all time, not only am I the best man this company's ever seen. Not only am I the best United States champion of all time, I honestly, genuinely think that I'm better at this than the both of you.
He's phenomenal. He is a really, I will tell you this, he is a really special talent, a special guy that Kevin Owens, very special individual. Yeah, it was a little disappointing to, The girls match, I just didn't fully understand the point of what we gained from this.
I think what happened with all of the matches is they tried to extend the story past this Sunday. And some stories I feel benefited from that, and some did not. And that's just...
Well, I like that they're not rushing, and I like that now the winner of this match next week will get Naomi at Money in the Bank. I like that. I like that we're not rushing, and I like that Naomi's... Let's all remember, I mean, all this time that we're holding on to is just longer time that Naomi gets to be champion, which I think is very cool and builds her up and makes her better. I still want to see the conclusion to her and Charlotte, of course.
And who knows? Maybe it could be Charlotte that she ends up facing next week.
Do you think that if you were to pick, would you say that's what's probably going to happen?
No. I feel like it may be Natalya or someone from the welcoming committee, but I don't see it being Charlotte.
Hmm. You know, I was thinking earlier, ladies and gentlemen, entering the arena right now, there he is.
New York to the heart.
Not wearing his usual suit today, it is Uptown Malcolm.
Uptown is the place where I lay my dough.
Accompanied by his girlfriend.
Family room, oh damn it, we home. Peter got a 9mm. Player haters can feel the flame from my heater. I never really liked the play.
Looking, she's a very lovely woman. Voluptuous woman from
Honey.
Yeah, also from Harlem, USA, of course.
And I got another clip down at Deja Crew. I said, Chris, that dumb piece.
He's stopping at ringside, talk to a couple fans, sign a couple of children's hats. Oh, now he's coming right over to the table. Hello. Oh, good to see you uptown. Okay. Saying hello. Taking the microphone and entering the ring as only he can. Of course, he is the cousin. People don't know exactly on what side, but he is supposedly the cousin of Booker T. And now we will hear from Uptown Malcolm. I didn't warn you about what your promo is, but I mean, you got to say something now. You just cut him to the ring.
I like delicious chicken.
Ladies and gentlemen, he loves delicious chicken. We all remember, of course, his original theme song. I like that the Uptown Malcolm character is already racist, and you, by no fault, well, I can't say by no fault of your own, by no fault of anyone else, Uptown Malcolm's catchphrase is, I like delicious chicken. You guys, that's even worse. The name Uptown Malcolm is racist enough. And now your catchphrase.
It's not racist. I'm from where I'm from and I like what I like.
But that's your name isn't Malcolm.
No, it's not.
Now you could say it's because you live on Malcolm X Boulevard.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
Do you literally?
I do. I live on Lenox Avenue, a.k.a. Malcolm X Boulevard.
And there we have the true origins of Uptown Malcolm. Now I really have to work on my, you know, I said I was going to try to get CFO to work on my theme song. Do you know what I told them I wanted it to be based on? Let's see if I have it here. Let's see if I have it in my, I don't seem to have it here. I'm going to look it up on YouTube. This is the song that I told them I would like my theme to be built on. Because you don't understand. The way I look at it right now, I not only want to have a theme song for the show, but I'm like, if it's really good and if I'm lucky and my career with WWE keeps going, then I might actually need a theme song.
Line. Yeah.
See, I've been waiting.
I told him to think about this song. Keep this song in mind for a theme song. And any of the producers listening, you could try to come up with something too. This is what I had in mind.
Yeah. Tired of living day to day like everything's all right. Waiting on that moment. Waiting on my moment.
Yeah. Waiting on my moment. Old dude met mom, it was on. Then he named me over a phone.
I just love this song. And I wanna, you know what I'm saying? And it could be a theme song.
I can see them flipping it too. Like, I honestly can.
Let's see, is there instrumental? Let's see if there's instrumental. And, you know, maybe what it needs is.
That's
a commercial. maybe what it needs is a good drop before it, you know, which I maybe have some concerns about that for your theme as well. Like, should you, like, let's see, hold on.
sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg.
But I don't know what happened. Problem is, you can't have it take this long to get into. You only have a couple seconds.
Like with mine, I can say, yeah, so you got to pick up like right there, like a slower build, and then.
But the thing is, this, I don't know if this part's. Like, that's why someone needs to do something like this. Now, I used to have a song. I wonder if it could be this. Hold on. Let's see if I have it. I had a song I was working on making. So guys, I'm sorry you got to work through this whole process with us. Greg, you keep looking at your phone. Do you have something else that you want to get to while I'm digging through this? Are there any points that you haven't gotten to make today while I'm trying to figure out? This conversation is important for me to share with the people.
Well, number one, we didn't get to touch on too much outside of the ring news. I just want to mention that WWE announced another tournament. It's been speculated for a few months, and they made it official. The Mae Young Classic is coming in July.
Yes, it's called the Mae Young Classic?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's lit.
Thankfully, it's the Mae Young Classic as opposed to that other female legend of the era that they could have named it after. But
well, why?
Well, because in death, Fabulous Moolah has become a controversial figure throughout the wrestling industry.
In what way?
Not in WWE, but by wrestling historians and people who feel like we didn't get to know the real Moolah.
Oh, there's some stuff about what she used to do, her practices.
Right, her practices.
All right, so what about this one? I had this one. This is a beat I have from another producer. That is my moment to Jace. What are your thoughts on this? Not enough?
I like it. It needs a little bit more boom bap, though, don't you think?
All right, hold on. When I play you, if I can find the vocal version that was done for it, it might be able to win you over more. All right, keep going.
So yes, the Mae Young Classic is coming this July, and in other news, Matt Hardy and Impact Wrestling, their legal issues heated up a little bit this week and don't seem to be going away. Over at the Pro Wrestling Sheet, Ryan Satin managed to acquire emails and the contract from Ed Norholm and his representatives. Excuse me, between him and Matt Hardy. And he released the contracts. I think he was trying to prove the point that he owned or had some ownership rights to the Broken Universe and the Broken Matt Hardy character. But after reading the documents myself, I honestly don't see it that way.
And Uptown Malcolm, you are a lawyer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
And so you think Broken Matt Hardy will be on WWE?
I think it's exactly as Matt Hardy described, that he owns the character, that he came up with the character, and that he gave Impact Wrestling a license to use the character.
Oh, well, then if he did that, there's no conversation to be had.
Right. Impact Wrestling seems to believe that they own the character and it stays with them, but there's a lot of legal arguments that would fall in favor of Matt Hardy. And I'm not going to lie. On an initial reading of the contract, it did look like Impact Wrestling had a forever license to the Broken Universe. It looked like Matt Hardy just basically signed his life away, but
maybe not.
No, not at all. If you read it closer, the contract doesn't really get into specifics about the Broken Universe. It seemed to address things like, you know, tape libraries and merchandising and action figure, but not necessarily the character.
You're starting to bore me, Uptown Malcolm. I got to move on to something else, and it's back to something more important, me. What do you think about this? Here's the vocal version. I realize that I have of that instrumental, and I never used it.
Hold on. Are the Cheap Heat listeners about to get a world premiere?
Oh, this is a world premiere. The question is, does this become my theme song? Maybe you'll like it better with vocals. Here we go. It does have a good wrestling intro beginning, right? Does that sound?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
can beef it up a little bit. I'll jump in the chorus. Ready? So you have this part. Well, we moved it up to the front. Here's the chorus.
Wait,
hold on, wait for this part though. Thanks.
Excellent use of Notorious B.I.G.'s vocals.
What's your concern, Stat Guy?
One, I feel like when it picks up, it should lead right into the chorus. Like,
No, that's what I would do. Yeah, yeah. This is a rough. So this rough was meant for it to be a rap song with a whole verse before you get to the chorus. So this would be what you do is. So
when you step out, I want to hear.
You hear this. You hear. For a second. Yes, Juanito, stop making fat faces and tell me what you're thinking.
You should do what my original idea was. Come out with a sound effect.
No, right. I love that. Oh, yeah, he thinks, because I was using this earlier, and you're right, one.
Like, Mage, and then go into Biggie's chorus, and then the girl singing at the end.
Okay, he was saying this. He's saying, so here's what I used before. I used just the sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg. He thinks we should have some sort of major Mage thing. But I don't have a Mage drop yet. I have to make one. And I don't really like when they would do the wrestling songs with, like, they would just take the catchphrase and say it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like those ones that were just like... The Flair one works for whatever reason.
What about the Miz? Miz does it too. It's awesome.
Hate that. I don't need that. I don't need them.
The crowd likes it. It's not about you. It's about the crowd.
Wow. See? Juanito is very smart.
That is true. And that's what I was going to say too. I feel like this song, it doesn't fit what a Peter Rosenberg persona would probably be.
Let's hear it again.
Because it feels like a very babyface.
And I'm not enough of a babyface for this. This is too inspirational. This is too inspirational.
Exactly.
Like, that part's kind of dark, but you're saying this version of the chorus.
Yeah.
It's inspirational.
Right.
Oh, one more time. It hits so big, though. I love that.
Make this work, you have to almost like be Bobby Roode with it. Where like,
it's like, you know, it's that's right, that's right. You're
right. Because if you play it straight baby face, it's not gonna work. And then they're gonna change it and give you some heel music that you're not gonna like. So you gotta.
So you think I should just give this music to be like Sasha's next theme song?
Something.
It does. I have to tell you, hearing it, it would actually be an amazing woman's theme song. I think this actually works as a baby face woman's theme song.
Yeah, but not a heel Peter Rosenberg.
Not a heelish man's theme song.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, if you guys have any thoughts or you're a producer out there and you want to send us something, you can send it to the email bookrosenberg@gmail.com. That'll do it. We got to get out of here. SGG, anything before we go?
Yes, a couple Jinder Mahal stats, which is shockingly, this was only his second win on pay-per-view in his entire WWE career.
It's actually not shocking when you think about it, but go ahead.
He's had less than 10 pay-per-view matches, which is also crazy.
That's the more interesting thing right there, yeah.
Backlash was his first title opportunity in WWE of any kind.
Wow.
And
that's rare also.
He's Indo-Canadian, which is something people may not know about him. And he is the first Albertan from Calgary, Alberta. He's not from Calgary, Alberta, but he's from the province of Alberta. He's the first Albertan to win the WWE championship since Bret Hart. And as like they said on SmackDown over and over, he is the 50th person to be the WWE champion.
Which is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, that I think is the most mage of all.
And he's the first Indian North American to win the title. Of course, Great Khali, Indian, had the other title.
Yes. He's the first Indian to win the WWE championship of any kind. Indo-Canadian. Well,
that's a very good point, because it's the WWE championship.
Right.
All right, hey, Juanito, thanks for stopping by.
I love you guys. Love this. I'm learning a lot each week.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Juanito. And you brought some good ideas today. And SGG, Uptown Malcolm, it's a pleasure. Next time I'm getting attacked, please defend me.
Music or not, I'm there. Hey,
thank you very much. And guys, you out there listening, remember, stay mage.